And the Lord came and stood. You want to talk about a personal God? And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times. Notice, Samuel, Samuel, blesses me so much. Just read that the Lord came and stood. Samuel, this is the God of the heavens and the earth, absolute sovereign king, comes and stands and calls a young boy by name. What an awesome God we have and serve. What an awesome God who loves us so much. Look at what he's willing to do and what he does over and over again.
Listeners, welcome to Live in the Light. I am your host, Shannon Stark, and today you are joining us for a message on the life of Samuel called The Call for Conviction. Pastor Robbie's here in studio with me today. Robbie, can you tell us about this message today?
I'd love to, Shannon. I'd love to. Again, we are hoping our listeners are encouraged with this series thus far. It's so fun to dig into the life of a character like Samuel. Maybe some of you did not know much about him. If you've missed some messages, go back again. Man, learning about how God has used people like you and me throughout the centuries, that's very encouraging too, because again, ordinary people, but trusting in an extraordinary God, and that's the difference maker. And Samuel's life, again, we look at it, we're like, man, we need some Samuels to be raised up in our day. And by the way, let me just say this, we love to hear from you. Shannon and I both agree with that. Like, do we hear the listeners that contact us and let us know how God is working in your life? Shannon just recently received an email, again, one of our listeners, and they just moved recently, and how the Lord is working in their lives and encouraging them, and the life he's bringing and the light he's shining into their lives. And just as they connect with this ministry for their kind of foundation of God's truth, man, what a blessing to read that and the detail of what they express to us. Hey, please, more of that. It blesses our team so much, all right? So maybe take some moments, and Shannon can help you out on how you can connect with us, but email or website, or you can give us a call. And again, our team here, we are here to see lives changed for God's glory on this radio ministry and on the station at Live in the Light. And that's why we're also bringing to you again this message from the life of Samuel. So it is the call for conviction. What a call that is needed for today. Yes, Lord, raising up men and women of conviction of the Holy Spirit, rooted again in Jesus Christ. Excited, Shannon, for today's message.
So excited, Robbie. Conviction is a great thing as it instructs us in the ways of the Lord. So let's learn more today as we open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and hear the call on the life of Samuel.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, again, great day to be together. So thankful for that. Our Women's Radiant Conference was here Friday and Saturday. Just so wonderful to see so many women coming from so many places. I think we had several satellites as well that were tuning in. And we had Jen Wilkin here from Dallas, and I heard great, great, great things about it. So we don't take that for granted, the things we're able to do, the conferences we're able to host, the part of the kingdom we're able to have as well. It is God's grace, and for that, we are tremendously thankful. 1 Samuel chapter 3, again, because our time is a little bit limited today, I want to jump right in. So here's a reality, and here is a principle of truth. A principle of truth that is so clear in Scripture, it's this: God will always have a remnant of his people. God will always, always have a remnant of his people. Doesn't matter how dark things get, doesn't matter how bad things become, doesn't matter how much culture capitulates again to what's happening around it, God will always, always have his people. This has been true since the beginning, and this is, of course, true today as well. A piece of theology that I love is this, okay? The church, according to God, the church never shrinks. Make sure you know that. Every person God genuinely saves is saved forever. So therefore, theologically, the church is unable to shrink. Doesn't matter what people say, doesn't matter what polls are taken, doesn't matter what the church looks like in terms of attendance, whatever. But theologically speaking, the church never shrinks because God never loses one. Jesus Christ will not lose one, all that the Father has given him. So just to encourage you, as you see things going bad around us, the reality is all those who are purposed in Christ remain to be purposed in Jesus Christ. He will always have his people. And in the midst of compromise, God is always calling a few. That's just a reality, particularly, especially within compromise. God is calling a few to be filled with conviction for the things of Jesus Christ, to live with a cost in that regard, because their minds are set on things above, not set on the things of the earth. And this is our series in Samuel. This is exactly what we've been studying. And our passage today in chapter 3, this is that as well. It's so important. So it's been our series, it's our passage. And listen, this is our opportunity as well today. What is? God is always calling people to himself. And God is calling people specifically to the service of him with a heart that is dedicated fully to his purposes. See, in the midst of compromise, where so many take the wide and easy road, that's so easy to do because everyone else is doing it. You just kind of jump along that path and you go through that. Everyone else is with you and they cheer you along the way. But the problem with the wide and easy road, the Bible says, is that it leads to destruction. The call for conviction to go against compromise is the call, Jesus says, is the narrow road. The hard road. I love how Jesus, he doesn't try to bait and switch us. He's like, you're called to follow me. It's going to be narrow, difficult to get through. It is a hard path. It is uphill climb, man. And at times you want to give up and you're exhausted, but this is the road that leads to eternal life. So you can go and compromise and be destroyed, or you can live a life of conviction in Jesus Christ at a cost, and that leads to everlasting life. So again, this is where we're headed today, again, in our passage. No time to waste. Here's our guiding question today from our text. It's this. What do we learn then about the warnings of compromise and the call specifically for conviction? What do we learn about the call for conviction when it comes from God? In other words, how do I position myself to hear this call, recognize this call from God, and then respond to this call? If I'm serious about rejecting compromise, which everyone else seems to be doing, but living a life of conviction, how do I go about that? What does the scripture teach us about that? Let's get to point number one then right away as we answer that question. Number one is this: I must know the context. If I'm gonna respond to the call for conviction, I must know the or my context. 1 Samuel chapter 3, take a look at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. So two things we see there in verse one as to the context unfolding as we read the early chapters of 1 Samuel. Number one, the word of the Lord was rare. And number two, there was no frequent vision. Again, this is the context of Samuel's calling. Very important for us to understand. The nation of Israel was filled with sin, disobedience, and rampant selfishness. When the people reject God, guess what happens? When the nation rejects God, what happens is his word becomes rare and his visions become infrequent. His voice is difficult to hear. His guidance is difficult to follow because the nation has rejected his authority and rejected his love and rejected his guidance. This is the consequence of neglecting the word of God and therefore not hearing from him. Let's understand this too as we look at verse one. When this happens, when we refuse the word of God, when the word of the Lord becomes rare, when we follow our own path and devices, that means then God is out of the picture and all that's left is us. That's scary. When we are left to ourselves, then we are left to our own devices. We are left to our own wisdom. We are left to our own strength or lack thereof. And understand this, two loved ones, understand this. This, if this takes place, then 100% of the time, what this will lead to, if God is rejected, his word is rare, his vision's infrequent, and we're left to ourselves, this will 100% of the time lead to spiritual anarchy, utter rebellion, and eventually societal chaos. And if you think I'm exaggerating, just look around. I mean, just look around at the culture we're living in now. It is spiritual anarchy. It is utter rebellion, and it is societal chaos because God has been rejected. His word has been trashed. And so then if God is not God anymore, then someone has to replace him. And humanity has decided to replace God with themselves. And that won't go well ever. It did not go well in Samuel's context. It has not gone well in church history when that happens. And it is not going well today either. When you reject God's voice and you reject his word, that means, listen, sinful hearts then take over, right? Because the restraining power of God's word is no longer there. So sinful hearts take over then, and these are the same hearts that would defy you to deny them their sinful lusts and desires. See, when sinful hearts take over, They will punch you in the face if you even try to go near them to defy them, the lust and intents of their evil desires. You can't even speak that word because the human sinful heart has sat on the throne then and they want to fulfill whatever lustful desire they might choose. That was happening again in Judges leading into 1 Samuel. They did was right, whatever was right in their own eyes. This was Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, and the horrific sin that they were following after. This is the context unto which Samuel was called. And by the way, let me just say this too. I mean, it should be so obvious. This is why the preaching of God's word is everything. If we fail to preach God's word, man, we are failing to put before our minds and hearts our guide, our compass, our light, our correction, our reproof. I mean, the very thing that God has used to keep the church on track over 2,000 years, if you close the book, you close any chance of hearing God's voice and seeing the path of life transformation for his glory. The preaching of God's word then becomes everything. Why? Because God's word equals God's voice equals God's vision. When the word of the Lord is rare though, what happens? Sermons become sermonettes. If they become sermons at all. And that's all over the place right now. When the word of the Lord is rare, the Bible starts to collect dust. And the culture, right? The culture then becomes our authority. Always remember this and always think clearly. If this is not our authority, then something else has to be, right? Like there's no way to live without an authority. We all have some kind of authority. Everyone in culture, everyone has an authority. If it's not this, it has to be something else. So I always ask, if this isn't your authority, then what is? And I can't wait to hear the answer. You actually gonna tell me that your authority you find on social media, that your authority is in a politician, your authority is you, your authority is some kind of other government? Really, really? That's who you're letting your whole life be led by? See, I just don't have enough faith for that. I got faith for this. The authority of the inerrant word of God following the perfect, sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent God who is good and loving and gracious and in control, the King of kings and the Lord of lords again. But when the word of the Lord is rare, culture and other things become authority. When the word of the Lord is rare, politics replaces passion for Christ. This is what we've seen maybe never more so in the last couple of years. The passion for politics replaces the passion for Christ. Why? Because the word of the Lord is rare. This is when petty entertainment replaces the prophetic. Petty entertainment starts to replace God's so needed prophecy among the prophetic. This is where the lust of the world starts to limit the lamp of God. Proverbs 29, verse 18, a verse that is so parallel with our text today. Look at this. It says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. You see, when the voice of God is not heard, when the vision of God is not seen, there's nothing to restrain. God's law is designed to restrain us, to keep us on the path on him. Can you imagine a land without any laws? It'd be absolute anarchy and again, rebellion. This is what God's law seeks to do for us, is to point us to Christ the one. But blessed is he or she who keeps the law of God or the word of God. Again, the word of God is so utterly crucial. This is the context in which Samuel was called, the call for his conviction. The Lord always has his people. The Lord will always have his man or his woman. And the easy thing in our day is to capitulate to the compromise that is all around us. But here's one of the questions of the day: who will stand up for the call for conviction? Who will stand up, recognizing the cost, recognizing the call to not being popular, recognizing maybe even the cost of your life in some form, but you're so filled with a love for Christ, you're so convinced of the eternity that awaits, you're so overwhelmed the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are willing, like so many thousands and millions of others before you over the course of church history, that you desire to stand and take your stand for Jesus Christ in a call for conviction because you recognize the futility of the compromise that is around you. So loved ones, we live in a time where the word of the Lord is rare, but now is the, I mean, you want a prayer request. Now is the time for increased vision. Now is the time for increased vision of the Lord among his people and among his church, that we might see a fantastic and extraordinary work of God among so many in a time that is so desperately needed. It won't be our strategies, it won't be the politics surrounding us changing our land, it won't be us and our being, you know, our ingenuity. It will be the work of the Holy Spirit of people who desire to be obedient before him and answer his call. The call for conviction, I must know the context. Number two, I must hear his call. I must hear his call. That should seem obvious in that way. Look at verse three now. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord, I just love our God, and the Lord called again, "Samuel," he called him by name. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not ever been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli was a little old, you gotta give him some grace. But Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now, what a beautiful scene this is, isn't it? Now, if you just step back from this a little bit and think about what we just read, here is the Lord Almighty, the God of the universe, personally calling out to the young man, Samuel. And this is what the Lord does in every generation. He personally and intimately calls men and women to himself. If you just think of a brief study of scripture, you think of Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul, we go on and on. They were all personally met and called by the Lord God himself. All of them, "You," God says, "I have chosen you and I have chosen to use you." Here is the Lord in the midst of compromise calling for conviction, this young man, Samuel. I think it's so sweet here, Samuel's sensitivity, his sincerity, his urgency. He is hearing again his voice being called. He doesn't even really know what's going on, but listen, he's ready to respond. I love that. He's ready to respond. He's so eager. He hears his voice and he does whatever he knows to do. And he runs to Eli and he says, I'm here. You have called me. Bless his heart in that way. Bless his heart, so ready. Love that. Three times the Lord calls Samuel by name. That is so awesome. Three times Samuel runs to Eli, and then Eli again clues in the third time, instructs Samuel what to do. And then we have verse 10 there. And look at verse 10 closely. And the Lord came and stood. You want to talk about a personal God? And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times. Notice, Samuel, Samuel. Blesses me so much. You just read that the Lord came and stood. Samuel, this is the God of the heavens and the earth, the absolute sovereign king, comes and stands and calls a young boy by name. What an awesome God we have and serve. What an awesome God who loves us so much. Look at what he's willing to do and what he does over and over again. He came and stood. You know, it's so interesting. Samuel here in verse 10, notice he receives both a word and a vision. Both were rare in those days, but that is about to change because God is making the call for conviction. The Lord is moving and he is calling. Again, notice the intimacy of the Lord. I'd love to hear so much just the interview we did with Stefan and Andrea. I'd love to hear Stefan's calling. I'd love to hear in that time of his life where the Lord just said, I'm not gonna let you continue to engineering and construction. I'm choosing you and I'm calling you to go serve me. That's what the Lord does. He's so personal. He's so intimate. That is so awesome. And all of us in one way or another must hear the call of the Lord for where we are to do more than simply go along with the rest of the world. We are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved to bear fruit for him. And I remember the season of my life when the Lord called me into ministry. It was terrifying, but exhilarating. I always remember looking back upon that season though, and there's nothing that could ever convince me otherwise. The Lord personally chose me. The Lord personally, against my own will, the Lord personally called me. And it is so healthy for me this week to think back and to remember the absolute intimacy and how personally the Lord steps down to your level and says, you don't deserve this. This has nothing to do with you and your merit. It is my sovereign grace. It is my love. It is my mercy upon you, but I am calling you to serve me. I remember when he did that with my wife, Jill, as we were dating and about to be engaged, he called her. He called her. I remember praying desperately when she was away by herself, Lord, please call her, please call her, please call her. Because listen, if she's not called, it's not gonna work. But he did, and here we are. That's how awesome our God is. And listen, he's doing that again. And I pray he's doing that today. Like I pray there are some young men, women, and there are some people here today that you will supernaturally hear his call. Here's one thing I know, I'm not getting any younger. And a lot of people around me, that's the same with them. Every generation, the Lord will handpick and say, you are called for something greater than what you're currently doing. For the service, whether it's vocationally or non-vocationally, the opportunities to see yourself bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ with the one life that you've been given. And I just love the Lord came and stood and said, Samuel, Samuel, Lord, do it again today. Do it again today as only you can. And when you do, those men and women, they will be coming. Notice this fourth time the Lord calls, and think about that. He calls Samuel, Samuel, how beautiful and how wonderful. In the midst of awful compromise right here, Samuel, Samuel, you are called for a life of conviction by name, a leader to himself. Samuel will be raised up. He would be used to change the direction of the nation. That's how profound and powerful Samuel's life would be by the grace of God. The Lord always has his people. Again, how can I not address young people here today, specifically based on the context of our passage? In a world of compromise, God calls for conviction. Young people, the easiest thing you can do is to live in compromise. Everyone's doing it. It's the easiest thing ever. Just get in the boat and float down the river to death. Everyone else is doing it. The hard part, but the call of life and the call of power and the call of conviction and the call of the gospel and the call of purpose and the call of meaning and the call of glory is to say, I'm not going downstream with everyone else, but I'm turning by the grace of God and with fear and trembling, I'm gonna start trying to go upstream because God has called me to himself and the day is coming so soon when Christ will return. And then all that I've done for him, that's the only thing that will last and the only thing that will matter. And young people, you're here today, you have to see it for what it is. Look at the world around you and recognize the emptiness that it ultimately presents. And then look at Jesus Christ and you know how beautiful and powerful and awesome he is. And any life called to his purposes is a life that will be remembered by him forever and a life that will see treasures in heaven forever as well. God, I pray you would call young people to yourself today as a point of wisdom and supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of if God is going to call. I love that. It's a matter of when. Listen, it's a matter of who. What kind of young man or woman does God call? Well, notice Samuel here, notice his approachability, notice his availability. Notice Samuel here, his mind is not dead in his phone. His head is not drugged with substances. His life is not plagued with lust. His heart is not polluted with social media. Notice he's open, he's open. There's so much he doesn't know, but he's open, he's available. He's listening, he's ready, he's aware of the need. Is he intimidated? You better believe he's intimidated, but he's willing. The Samuels in this room right now, there's gotta be some. There's gotta be some. So many of you like me, man, the last thing you ever thought you'd ever be doing is doing something like this right now. And just everything you saw was, I can. Here's a good line by Mark Batterson. He says this, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. You have to know that. It's not about being qualified. You're never going to be qualified. He doesn't call those with all the giftedness. He doesn't call those with all the status, but rather he qualifies those that he calls. It's the step of faith. Saying this week to some friends that for Peter, he couldn't walk on water unless he gets out of the boat. He had to take a step of faith. God's people don't cross the Jordan before the priest's foot stands in the water. As long as they stand on the shore looking at the opportunity, nothing happens. They take a step of faith and then the water parts. It's called faith. You have to make room for the Lord. Can we put down our phones just long enough to hear from God? God is calling for conviction in the midst of compromise. And listen, very often, it's so amazing as we hear through baptism testimonies this weekend and over again, God will often bring affliction to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you available? Are you listening? Are you available? And this, listen, this is so important. Are you aware of the alternative?
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.